This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Friday, which means it's time for Unsportsmanlike Conduct with your hosts, Adam Hill and Ed Green.
Welcome into Unsportsmanlike Conduct at the Vegas Nation podcast, brought to you by Favor Shots. We're your hosts, Ed Graney and Adam Hill. We're here each week to give you some thoughts on the Las Vegas Raiders before entering the world of news and entertainment and other insignificant topics we find interesting. Let's go. How are you?
First of all,
you all right?
Insignificant.
Well, to a lot of people, they are.
Okay,
we've talked about a bunch of gibberish.
Fair enough.
As long as Larry's laughing, we feel we've done well. Let's start with the Raiders, because you, this week, I wanted to talk to you about earlier this week, you were able to talk to Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, over the weekend, the 50 stories you've done in the last 2 days. It was really interesting what Mark Davis said to you, the Raiders owner, because all of this interest in terms of if there'll be fans in Allegiant Stadium, when the season opens, how many fans there'll be. I just want to kind of, for those who might not have read the stories or listened in on other shows, tell us what Mark Davis said. I thought he had some really interesting things about, you know, not only the protocols that are going to go on with players and the safety and everything, but more about what's happening with Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah, and I'll say this. The reason I really wanted to talk to him, because I saw some comments he made elsewhere that said, you know, it's either all fans, either we have a full house at Allegiant Stadium, or nobody. And I thought that was interesting because, to me, what are the chances that all the fans are there? None.
Zero.
So what he's really saying is there's not going to be fans right. this year. And I wanted to talk to him about that and clarify that. And he said basically right away, he said, no, I don't foresee fans being at Allegiant. Now, there's a lot we can get into as it relates to that and where we stand on that. But your question was about, you know, what did he have to say? He had that to say about, you know, where he thinks they are in terms of potentially getting fans there and how he thinks, listen, right now, the best you can hope for is a limited capacity, and he does not want to do that. Mostly, and we've talked about this a lot, how do you determine who gets the spots? Like, every single ticket is sold for the entire year. So if you say there's, say, 20,000 fans, well, where are the other, you know, 45,000 going to go each week? And then how do you break it down?
How do you determine the 20,000? Pick them out of a hat? I'm being facetious,
other places have said, hey, the more you paid for your PSL, this is Baltimore, I think, right off the top.
The rich people.
The more you paid for your PSL, the higher priority you have. And I don't think Mark Davis wants to do that either because, like the vast majority of seats in that stadium somebody has the PSL for.
Boy, you must be mad when they give it to the wealthy. How you are politically.
We know that's how society is, though.
Okay.
The rich get what they want, and that's how it works.
Well, I want to cut you off there and ask you this, because this is a league that the shield, competitive balance, parity, and all that. And I know you talked about on other shows earlier this week, but I want the people out there on our podcast to hear. Why, in this one instance, has this league, which is so much into parity, not just made a blanket statement and said, you know what, no fans. You can all get revenues by the sponsorships. We'll give you more ideas how to make money. But why is it if the Raiders go to Kansas City this year, and let's say they have 20,000 people rooting against them, and then you bring them here, and Mahomes doesn't have to worry about any crowd, throws 9 touchdowns, why hasn't the league just said it's all or nothing?
Well, I think, first of all, on that, I think Kansas City is looking at 14,000 or so.
Okay, but it's 14 which, more than the Raiders if they have zero.
I don't think that's going to be much. I don't think there's going to be much crowd noise for 14,000. I don't. I just think I don't think there's much there. And this is actually what Mark Davis was most worked up about. He actually he said damn to me. Like he said this. It's been all about damn equity the whole way. He got very worked up about it.
To me, he called Pat Mahomes a bitch in a nice way.
No, that's not what he was saying. He basically said, hey, listen, we've had a set of rules, as you pointed out. It was the first facility had to close in March. All facilities had to close.
Right, right.
For the draft, the first team we heard that wasn't going to be able to have prospects in for physicals and for testing and everything they wanted to do, none of the teams could.
Right.
Because it's all about equity. Now, in this case, the NFL has said, well, it's every man for himself.
Yeah,
whatever
I don't like
your
that.
Local government
I don't
says.
Like-
now, here's the reason. As you pointed out, there's going to be teams. The Jets and Giants got the ruling from New Jersey. No fans.
Philly, no fans.
So along those lines, the NFL would have had to say no fans for anybody.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, I think that there's some legal issues potentially here, and I think we'll find out.
So if Kansas City's governor says okay and the NFL says no fans, Kansas City's going to sue the NFL?
Well, I think it's more – so in Las Vegas, right now, fans can't be there anyway.
Right.
So Mark Davis saying there's no fans doesn't matter because locally right. you're not allowed to have fans. If the state government comes to some sort of – you know, decision.
Like tier three and four or whatever. Phase three and four.
You can have, let's say, 20,000. That's a number a lot of teams are working with. 20,000 fans can be at Allegiant. And Mark Davis says, you know what? I don't think if we can't have a full house, we can't have anybody. I'm not going to make the decision of who gets to go and who doesn't. Especially if you say, like, all right, one-third of the fans go to each of the games, and you break it up that way. Well, what if I'm a fan who, like, I paid a lot of money, and I get... You know, none of I don't get the Chiefs.
I don't get Breeze. I don't get Mahomes. I don't get Brady.
Yeah, I don't get Brady, the Chiefs.
But
Mahomes.
I get the Dolphins with Tua.
Right. And then you're like, wait a minute. I paid good money for these. Why am I not getting the premium games? Like, how does this work out? I only bought my tickets to go see Buffalo.
Right.
And I didn't end up getting
Buffalo.
Well,
nobody says that, but yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
But you know how that could be. So
yes. So
it's very tough to break it up. But if there was fans allowed and the Raiders say no, we're not having them. The next year, when it's time to negotiate the new salary cap and the players are coming out to you and saying, like, wait a minute, you turned down money. Like the state government said you could have fans there. You turned down money, and now you're coming to us and saying, well, we have to drop the cap because we didn't make the revenue we expected. Yeah, because you said no to the fans. Like, what are you talking about?
God,
so if I'm the players,
because you're killing my argument.
If I'm the Players Association,
I'm really happy about that.
If I'm the Players Association, I'd be furious about that.
I get you. I just think, and it's very simplistic, I know, because I'm a very simplistic person, but they always want competitive. They don't want any competitive advantage. All I hear is from that league is parity, although we know that's not true because some people are just better at their jobs in terms of drafting and everything. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe 14,000 in Kansas City doesn't mean anything. And if, you know, it doesn't mean if Mahomes has 14,000 or he comes here, he's going to play any different in front of nobody. I just think it's, I don't want to say unfair because I don't want to go that way. I just think for a league that's always talking about parity to just leave it up. Exactly what you said, Adam, this protocol, you can't wear these socks. You must wear this helmet. Everything is designed in that league to be the same for everybody. And in this one instance, do whatever the heck you want.
Well, and it's also, you'd also be preventing owners, right? So if I am Kansas City, if I'm the owners in Kansas City, or if I'm the owners in, you know, Jacksonville
Baltimore
can have 25,000, Baltimore can have, you know, 14, whatever numbers they're working with, and you tell me because the Giants and the Jets can't have anybody, I can't have anybody when I'd be allowed to, now it's money. So if it's closing the facility, that's about a competitive advantage. There's really no money involved. If it's about the draft, same thing, competitive advantage, no money. In this case, you're telling owners you can't make the money that you are allowed to by your state. You're allowed to have fans there, but you're not going to allow me to do that from the NFL's perspective. Now I'm mad if I'm an owner that I can't make that money. So for both sides, anytime you start turning down money, it starts to get uglier than just the competitive advantage stuff that we talked about throughout the offseason. So it's a totally different scenario.
Your gut reaction on two different issues. Will there be fans in Allegiant Stadium? Do they open training camp? The Raiders and everyone's expected to open training camp on July 28th, which is Tuesday.
So we are here at about 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, just so people know.
Right.
Everything could be totally different than we're talking about, right?
Like
it could
sure.
be a totally different world.
So what you want to be is a newspaper, a day behind.
It looks like the Rams are pushing back camp.
Well, McVay actually said last week, I doubt this is starting
right.
on time. He kind of let that out.
Right. And it looks like the Rams are the one team. And this is kind of, these are just reports. We don't know anything official yet. Again, things could change in 10 minutes. Things could have changed while we're speaking right now. I don't know. But it looks like the Rams are the first to just kind of say, like, yeah, you know what? It's probably not starting camp on
time.
Pump
the brakes.
And here's the other thing. And again, I'll make the caveat for the eighth time in a row, subject to change. The safety protocols seem to be pretty close. Like, they're
yeah.
close to a deal. They're not
yeah.
there yet, but we're learning, okay, they agreed to this. No preseason games. Not everyday testing, but every day
It always
day
comes
for two
down
weeks.
To the money.
it's all about the money right now.
Always.
And what we have been led to believe for the last couple of weeks is that they are far apart on a money agreement, but they can start training camp without a financial agreement, and they can go all the way up till the season. Now, what we started to hear this morning was owners are not comfortable with that. They want this done before Sunday. We talked about rookies and quarterbacks. Everybody's kind of reporting right now, but it's really just for testing. Sunday is the first day that the Chiefs and Texans players are going to be on the field.
Yes, because they play the first game.
But they're going to be on the field like for conditioning and strength workouts and everything on Sunday. The owners want a deal by then. And the reports that are just surfacing right now is that owners are not going to allow players on the field at training camp
until they have their money.
Until they have this
or whatever
done.
The percentage is.
And
yeah.
the basic break, there's a couple of things that they have to work on. The basic ones being, one, what, you know, how does the pay break down if you're on a quote-unquote COVID list?
Right.
It's not an injury list. How are we dealing with that? Are you gone for 3 weeks? Is it an injury list that we can bring players back from? Do they expand the injury list to, you know, usually you have to designate a guy to return. There's a lot of intricate, you know, details there. But in general, designate one guy. Hey, this guy's on the injured list, but he can come back. Do you make it this year that everybody that goes on the injured list can come back at some point just to make that safe? And certain players have different pay based on if they're on the active roster or the injured list. Not everybody,
right,
but some players. So are those players that test positive for COVID that are perfectly okay to play, but they tested positive and they can't be with the team? Are they on the injured list? Do they get the money for the injured list or for the active roster? Like, all those things have to be worked out, and they have to work out an agreement on what is the last day that you can opt out of playing this year, and what is the compensation if you do so, especially if you have a, you know, family health issue. We've heard some players from the Raiders say they have issues in their family that they're kind of uncomfortable with. So what's the last date? How much do you get for that? And then the biggest barrier is how do you handle the reduced money that's coming in this year, the reduced revenue in terms of the cap. The league wants a one-time reduction next year where you can have the salary cap cut as much as $70 million. What does that mean? You're going to have to cut a whole bunch of guys.
Right.
And it's going to be a battle to try to get under it. But it's done and you move on. The players want that stretched out over 11 years. So let's say, you know, $5 million a year, something along those lines, up to $7, $8 million by the end, where you really reduce the impact of that financial loss. That is a major barrier, and that one has to still be worked out.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. In terms of your Raider news, reviewjournal.com.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
This is a big story in the world of Hollywood. Joey Russo from Blossom,
whoa,
Joey Lawrence, hair guy, has divorced the wife. This is what really got me. I didn't know after that great show with him, Brotherly Love, with real life brothers Matthew and Andrew, he filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. At that point, he had to sell his clothes. His kids walked around with no shirt on his whole life. What the hell did he have to sell? You're Joey Lawrence and Blossom. I know he wasn't your... First of all, child actors, I was one. They're horrible.
They're
absolutely terrible. I'll tell you about it in a second. What do you remember from this nut job from Blossom? He was terrible with the hair, and he kept saying, what was his thing? Ooh, wow?
Whoa.
Or whoa?
Whoa.
What was the first?
Ooh, wow? I don't know what
first
it was.
One?
Ooh, wow.
Whoa.
I'm sure we can have our esteemed producer, Larry, drop any sound clip
but that
here.
That will be dropped into the podcast.
Yeah, it's not,
sure.
Ooh, wow.
All right.
And it's not even, it's,
whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Were you a fan of Blossom?
Well,
whoa.
You
I
like
was young.
Six, right? Sticks?
Six is the friend of Blossom. I was much more of a fan of Six, obviously.
Jenna Vanoy.
Yeah.
I know
she
her.
Was good with the hats.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was a child actor. I want to tell you, but yeah, I was a child actor. Actually, the child actors are complete lunatics. Savage, the Olsen twins, Shia LaBeouf. I didn't think he was any good. I didn't like Lindsay Lohan except for Herbie Rides Again. She brought the fastball in that game, outside fastball.
Well, first of all, Mean Girls.
Okay, that was an inside fastball. She brought some fastballs.
One of my favorite movies.
Ended up being a little strung out and out of touch with reality. I was a child actor. Did a lot of plays at the Laguna Moulton Playhouse. I was the lead in Aladdin and His Wonderful Lamp. I read.
You were Aladdin?
Yeah, of course. I read for The Champ with John Voight. I got beat out amongst probably
the periodontist.
Okay. I read for The Champ among other thousands of kids by Schroeder, Rick Schroeder. Okay. Only because that kid could cry in a dime. That damn kid. Waterworks. I can't do that.
Hold on. What you're saying is you're bitter
yes.
because he was a better actor.
Well, I'm not going to say that. He could cry better.
Yes, that's acting.
No. Then he goes to NYPD, blew my favorite show of all time. Then he gets cast in that. Silver Spoons was horrible, but he got money off that. Now he's living in Montana on a ranch. My dream place is Montana on a ranch. Oh. But then a couple years ago, I think there was a little domestic violence. I threw a party, not because of the wife, but that they finally had something in his life that went negative on this guy. I did want to tell you this because you're a single guy. I want to give you the Rick Schroeder, anti-Rick Schroeder way. This is before I met my beautiful wife. You know, back, I tried to cut a swath through San Diego. You try to get as much action as possible. So when I would try to pick up women or actually have dates, I want to give
it. First of all, I can't imagine you had game of any sort.
Oh, here it comes. I'm giving you my game.
Okay.
Because you're a young single guy. Well, a single young, guy here yeah. in Las Vegas.
Young's
okay,
a stretch.
This is what you do. You ready? You ask her out and you get her to the house. This worked for me 10 out of 10 times. You throw in a copy of Prince of Tides, another Nolte movie with Barbra Streisand. Oh, it was a great movie.
This is 1987?
Anyway.
This is
I got married in the 90s. This is what you do. And this is why, this is my, to Schroeder and the crying, because I can never cry. You turn out the lights to get the mood going and you throw in the Prince of Tides. Very emotional movie, a lot of crying in it. When she's looking away or she's doing something, you take the index finger, you put a little slivy on it, and you put it under your eyes.
Oh my God.
Listen, it worked. So you get the eyes wet. Then she sits down, and in a very emotional and caring way, you take her hand in yours. Then, unbeknownst to her, you kind of lift the hand to your face so one of her fingers touches the wetness under your eyes.
Oh my God.
10 times out of 10, the girl would look at me and say, "Oh my God, are you crying?" I'd come back with, "Well, I don't like to be emotional, but it's a sad time." When she thought I was crying during Prince of Tides, I might as well have been Brad Pitt with the shirt off The Legends of the Fall. It was an automatic, 10 out of 10 times.
This is awful.
No, it's the greatest terrible. Pickup. That was my game. I'd pretend to cry with spit on my face. She'd think it was tears. I'd get the, "Oh my God, you're crying." She'd look at the sensitive guy. I'd be Mr. Sensitive.
This move didn't work to get you apart, though.
No, because the directors were a lot smarter than the women I dated. So, obviously, I didn't date, they were good kids, but, the intelligence factor wasn't there. Believed I was crying during Prince of Tides.
You were throwing in a VHS copy of Prince of
Tides? Yes, I had it at the house. I've seen that movie more than I've seen Hoosiers, but not because I really liked the movie, but because I wanted to score with gals back in the day before I met my wonderful wife. I'm giving you the nice movie. You're a single guy.
Way too gimmicky.
I don't agree.
Just a gimmick.
The key on that is, though, you got to get the spit under the eyes before she knows what you're doing. I was never caught. Ready? They can't see on the back. Like that. You'd go fast, really fast. You get the spit and you put it on your eyes.
Did you try this on your wife?
No, she's far more smarter than anyone I dated. Come on. She thought I was a nice guy, but she did.
Does she know that this is your move?
Oh, yeah. I had little games. She goes, "Well, how did you ever score with them?" And I told her the Prince of Tides story. It's a wonderful story. It's automatic. Try it for me one time if you can actually find a copy of Prince of Tides.
Yeah, where can you find the Prince of Tides?
That's got to be out there somewhere, right?
How much of it do you have to watch? I don't even know if it's worth it.
No, you got to get to the scene. The spit scene is one when he's talking about his past and something weird happened with the father and the daughter. It was very, very dark. At that point, you know, it's emotional. That's when you like say, "Hey, can you grab me that?" And as her head turns, you put the spit under the eyes. So when she comes back is when you grab her hand and lovingly put it under your eye. And every time, I'm telling you, every time, are you crying?
How far into this movie is this scene?
You got to go about an hour in.
There's no chance. There's zero. It's not worth it.
If I guarantee you getting action in the end, you're not going an hour into the Prince of Tides?
It's not worth it.
Are you serious?
Absolutely not. No. No,
the most beautiful, attractive girl that you've chased for many years wants to come over, and you won't do the Prince of Tides move.
The one time, I guess that's fine.
What else do you need?
I'm saying, if you're doing this regularly, now I'm sitting through the movie like 10 times.
Yeah, but you're
times?
Trying to do it with different gals because after they know me for like a 1 week, they're dropping me anyway, like back in the day. I mean, they didn't stay around.
I feel like I could find better movies to
do the spit to scene, to
fake
do the spit
cry
move?
At.
I called it the spit move.
I'll also give you a little known secret that it's ridiculous. I don't even know that I'll need to fake. I cry at every movie.
Oh, no. You're crying now?
Out of control.
You know what I cry a lot at now? Queer Eye.
Okay.
No, they go and help people. Larry's giving me listen, this is a great show, the Fab Five. They go and help people. I get very emotional at the end when they've helped people that really need to bounce back in life. Why are you giving me the cut?
So right now...
It's a show on Netflix.
If you were a single guy now, you'd be throwing on episodes of Queer Eye.
No, I'd still go Prince of Tides.
Okay. I just don't understand why you have to keep watching the same movie over and over again. Like, just throw on a sad movie and cry at it.
Yeah, I could have come up. Yeah, it was the Prince of Tides move, though. Once you're
That's
so
lazy,
but you're successful at a high rate. I think you go for it. There's the movie. There's Nick Nolte. That might be the scene where I did the spit move. Absolutely. That's it.
If I'm watching a Nick Nolte movie, I'll go Blue Chips.
There's nothing sad about that, though. It wouldn't have worked. She would have watched the movie, and like most of the girls I dated, go home right away.
They get caught cheating in the college basketball.
Was Shaq in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
And Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway. Oh yeah. There's some sad scenes.
I don't know. I really think you got to take me up one time. Just do one time. Larry and I are both married. The Prince of Tides move is a, I mean, my wife barely knows I'm alive, so never mind on the Prince of Tides. But I think you use this one time. Can you do it just me one time on one date where you get the spit and then you? But the key is lovingly lifting the hand, because she's probably wondering, why is this guy lifting my hand? But then once you get her index finger under your eye, it's automatic. They want to know if you're crying.
I feel like it would make me laugh at this point.
Really?
I can't. Well, first of all, I can't take a move from you. It's too weird.
It's a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah, the counterclockwise. I got the knuckle.
Do you write down the script on your hand like a stanza? Like, what's that on your hand?
If you, for the listeners that are not Seinfeld people, we've made like 20 Seinfeld references already today.
In future shows, though, we will, and I don't know if we're going to get to some Raider talks in this day, we will break down 13 Reasons Why.
I mean, that has to be its own separate podcast.
That has to be its own separate podcast. Because if you want to know a bad actor, Dylan Minnette, Clay. Oh, the kid never smiled for like 10 years. He never smiled. I said, that guy's a horrible actor.
He's intense.
My daughter loved him. He's in a band. Thinks he's the greatest thing in the world. We're going to break down 13 Reasons Why. And that guy is horrible playing Clay. Not that there's a lot of Academy Award winners in that cast.
I think the acting is tremendous. I don't know what you're talking about.
This will be a great show.
How good was Bryce as an actor?
We'll break down that, and we'll break down the complete degenerates on Full House. Olsen twins degenerates. Bob Saget was on Entourage. They made him out to be some skit-style drunk. I'm like, is that guy even acting?
No, if you see his stand-up, that's pretty much who he is.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who played Jesse? John Stamos? I saw the John Stamos the day I moved my kid into college in San Diego. Kid's like 2 feet, 20 pounds. I'm like, this guy was a sex symbol. I can blow this guy over like a feather, this Stamos. Okay. But this is the best.
You think Stamos has to bring girls home to watch
Prince of Tides and pretending to spit on his finger. But the one person in that show, who you thought would be a normal person, really attractive, nice gal, played Becky.
Lori Loughlin.
Loughlin becomes a complete cheat in life. You know, it's not enough to marry Massimo, who's worth billions of dollars. You have to cheat to get your kids in college. These are all future shows that we got to break down.
I'm still surprised how much money Massimo had. Like, the shirts were popular for a while.
I wore the shirts and shirts back in the day.
Sure, for like 3 years, people liked those shirts.
When I was in the mean streets of Laguna Beach surfing. I wore those things all the time.
What happened to him, though?
Well, they kind of faded out. He made a lot of money in those 3 years.
Real quick.
All right, well, these are future shows, and you're going to love it. We're going to break down 13 Reasons Why. We'll be on opposite sides. That's going to do it for our latest edition of Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation podcast, presented by Favorshot. Remember now, there are new episodes of Vegas Nation every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Just subscribe to the Vegas Nation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcasting app. You can also support this show, why not, by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and can find all our coverage at VegasNation.com. For Adam, I'm Ed. Talk to you next week.